Glory to God. Is anyone excited to be in church today? Yes. Glory to God. Well, hey, that was a real good excitement. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love excitement. You know, praise the Lord. Can you bring me down just a skosh here? Skosh? Just a little bit. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. You know, I love the Word of God. I love, you know, I was thinking as my wife was up there talking about the Word in announcements, I was thinking, why is there so much disagreement on something that's so plainly written? Yeah. Yeah. It really is. I mean, if you want to think of it this way, this book is a recipe book. Amen. This book is a cookbook. Amen. What's a cookbook? It's a book of recipes, and the recipes give us directions on how to make something, right? Praise the Lord. And we all know that if you open a recipe, a cookbook, and you read the recipes, and you just want to substitute anything you want in there, you know that you're not going to get the desired outcome. It won't be like the Betty Crocker picture, praise the Lord. It's going to be different, right? Well, the same thing is with this. And so we got to ask ourselves, why do so many people disagree on the same book, on the same cookbook? Because God didn't make it hard, amen? And I got a scripture. A scripture came to me that answers that question. Praise the Lord. It's 1 Corinthians 2:14. And it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Praise the Lord. And so if we try to look at this book through natural eyes and try to understand it through natural understanding, we'll never understand it. In other words, if you try to understand it the way you've understood everything else in life, you're never going to get it. Praise the Lord. But when we allow God's Word to change us, and when we submit ourselves to God's Word, then the truth of the Word reveals to us the things that we need to know. And then they don't become hard. Then we can look at the Word and say, ah, that's what God was saying. It's truth. Hallelujah. And it's really not that difficult. You know, my wife, you know, there's plenty of people that think that, you know, we've even seen some of the arguments recently. There was some guy out there that was saying that Jeremiah 29:11 doesn't apply to Christians. And I just think, well, I don't know how that could be. Praise the Lord, because, I mean, everything else in Scripture points that way, but say that Jeremiah 29:11 doesn't even apply to Christians, and that God doesn't want us blessed, but that God wants us, you know, He wants us in pain and suffering and all these things. And, you know, the Bible talks about sufferings, and there's sufferings for Christ, but how many know that that recipe also tells us what those sufferings are? Those sufferings do not include sickness. Nowhere in the Bible will you see God put sickness on His faithful believers. Nowhere. He never does it. Why? Because God doesn't put sickness. God is not the author of sickness. Praise God. Some people have a problem with that, but we understand that in Acts 10:38, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing all who were what? Oppressed of God. No, not oppressed of God, oppressed of the devil. Amen. So we understand that sickness, and when he was casting out demons, you know, they tried to accuse him of casting them out by the devil's ability. And Jesus said, he answered him, and he said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Amen. What was he talking about? He was like, if you're trying to build a house, you can't pull the foundation out from under it now, can you? Praise the Lord. So God isn't trying to build a house and pull the foundation out from under us. Amen. The Bible tells us in Psalms that with long life, I will satisfy you. Praise the Lord. With long life, I will satisfy you. Glory to God. Doesn't mean long, miserable life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It means long, blessed life. Amen. Now, and we look at the 23rd Psalm, as we see God, He leads His people. How does He lead His people? Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. That's what want means, right? Praise the Lord. We put it in today's English so people understand it. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want for anything. I shall not lack. Praise the Lord. He leads me by what? Still waters and into what? Green pastures. Amen. How many know that still waters are a place where there's no turmoil, and green pastures are a place where you're fed? Hallelujah, and taken care of. And how many just get excited about, I don't know where all this is coming from, but glory, I guess I do, praise the Lord. We tend to follow God around these parts, and because we follow God, we get God, amen? Glory to God. That's how we spiritually discern, praise the Lord. But anyways, He leads us into green pastures and still waters, and it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is with me. And then He tells us how He's our protector. He's our strength. He's our sword. Praise God. He gave us a sword. Hallelujah. But we just need to know how to put all these things to practice. And aren't you glad you came to church? Because if you came to church today, you came to a place that's going to teach you how to put this word to practice. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just excited to get into the message. That was not my message. That wasn't even the introduction. That was a pre-introduction. Hallelujah. So that just gets us started. That just gets us warmed up in our feelers out there. You know what I mean? Praise God. So we should receive the word with joy and gladness, because God's got good things for us today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I got to pull up my notes because I forgot what the name of my message is. Maybe they could pull it up and that'll help me. Oh, yeah. It's agreeing with God. Hallelujah. Today's message is called Agreeing with God. We're going to be talking about agreeing, just a lot of the stuff I've been actually kind of talking about this morning, but agreeing with God, the importance of agreement with God. It is so important that we are in the same page with God. You know, we know this. I love that, God has given us the marriage covenant. And one of the things that we understand about the marriage covenant is that it is an earthly covenant that gives us an understanding of our covenant with God. And it's a very important, covenant on the earth that God has. And even if you're not married, that's okay. You can understand what God wants to do through marriage. So it's not that, you just have to honor you don't have to be married to honor the marriage covenant. Amen. Praise the Lord. You just have to, we have to respect it. Amen. Because God has good things for us in that. Praise the Lord. But what do we know about a marriage? We know in a marriage that if a husband and wife don't get along, what happens? Nothing, right? Nothing good happens, amen? If you got a husband and wife that just aren't in agreement, the Bible says a house divided, right? We already said that. And so we know that. So we know that we should know that in a husband and wife relationship, our number one goal is to get ourselves back into agreement if we're outside of agreement. Amen. Our number one goal. That's the first thing that we need to do. The first thing you need to do if you and your spouse are are at odds with one another, the first thing that you need to do is not get down on your knees to pray. It is not to open the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. The first thing that you are to do is not to seek angels, is not to ask God. The first thing you are supposed to do is get your butt back in agreement with your spouse. Why? Because no good thing can happen if you're not in agreement. Actually, the Bible tells us that if we are at odds with our spouse, that it hinders our prayers. In other words, it stops our prayers from working. So there's no point in praying if you're in disagreement. Amen. So that's why it's so important. We have to understand that. Why do I bring all that up? Because, like I said, our marriage covenant is a reflection of our covenant with God. And so if we are not in agreement with God's word, we are at odds with God. It doesn't matter if we agree on some things. We need to agree on all things. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I love what Jesus did. You know, when Jesus was here, he was accused. When he was going to the cross, he was accused of many things. Most of those things weren't true, right? Praise the Lord. He was accused of being king of the Jews. That was true. But he was accused of many things that weren't true. But the Bible says something really interesting about how Jesus responded to it. It said he didn't answer it. Why? Because he didn't need to, praise God. He was going to stay in agreement with God, amen? And the people were going to be at odds with him, you know, and that's... But what does that show us? It shows us something that we can put to practice in our daily lives, amen? You don't always have to be right. That's what I love about what that shows. We don't always have to be right. In fact, if we... Because to get peace, sometimes we need to do... we need to be okay with not being right. Yeah. And what I mean by that is, I don't mean you go and do wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is you don't have to be right. You don't have to have it your way. You don't have to have everything in your all lined up on your side in order for you to flourish. Because the Bible says to seek peace at all costs or to seek peace and pursue it. Amen. And so we understand that God needs us to get into that place. And so this is a very practical thing that we can do just in life. Amen. And of course, in a relationship, you don't necessarily have to agree with your spouse on something to get into agreement with them. Yeah. Amen. You can agree to disagree, praise the Lord, but you don't let it become contentious or anything like that. You know what I mean? But again, with the reflection on God, we want to be in agreement with God. How do we get in agreement with God? Well, we have to know what God is saying. How do we know what God is saying? Well, we have to get to his word. Without God's word, we won't know what he's going to say. You know what I found? The Holy Spirit speaks to me all the time. Every day, I hear from God. I was thinking about this morning, as I've grown this much in the Lord, I've gotten this much more effective at hearing from the Holy Spirit. I have God talk to me all the time, and I know it's God. You say, how do you know? Well, my spirit bears witness that it's God. But you know how God, the number one way that God talks to me is through the word. Amen. And not even just because I'm reading the word, but because I follow God, he talks to me with the word. I'll be maybe pondering a question in my mind, desiring an answer for something, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will come upon me and give me a scripture for it. Ooh, there's my answer. And don't you know that the scripture that he gives me always lines up with the question that I have? Praise God. Hallelujah. How good is that? God is good. Amen. So we understand that God is always going to first and foremost talk to us through the Word. This is why it's so important to get the Word in us, because if we have the Word in us, then we can be spiritual people. See, there's a lot of people that try to be spiritual without the Word. They put the Word aside and they try to be spiritual people. You cannot be spiritual without the Word. I said you cannot be spiritual without the Word. That means you can't hear from God, you can't agree with God, and if you can't agree with God, you can't be blessed by God. That's with the Word. We're going to see it today. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're going to start in Ephesians 3:20 because you love that scripture. Say, yes, I do, Pastor Jeff. I love that scripture. Ooh. Let's see, when we're going to read it, you might not even know what it says, but when we read it, you're going to be like, ooh, I do like that scripture. That's really good. I do. I just know ahead of time. I'm prophesying your future right now. You are going to love what Ephesians 3:20 says to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now to him who is able. Notice the Bible says that he is able. Yeah. Praise God. You know, you remember when the leper came to Jesus and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me whole? Yeah. Then what did Jesus tell him? I am willing. So we know that the willingness is there, right? The willingness of God is there. So if the ability of God is there and the willingness of God is there, then why don't we see what God is promising sometimes? Ah, that brings up a good point, doesn't it? I'm gonna pose this before you. It's because there's a part that we play in this. God is able. He is already able. God has been able, and he's been willing. The Bible tells us that if he gave us Jesus, how would he not with him freely give us all things? So God is able, and he is willing. We got scripture on this, right? He's able and willing, so why don't we see it? It's because there's a place that we haven't connected to, and that's an agreement with God. We haven't agreed with his word. You know, I think about this as I was meditating on this stuff, and as this sermon was coming to me, actually it came out of some great revelation that the Lord was pouring out in my life. I'm so thankful for revelation. But, you know, he took me back again. You know, how often does the Lord take me back and show me the account of the Egyptians or the Israelites coming out of Egypt? I'm sorry. You remember that when God led them out of the Egypt, out of bondage, and they led them into was leading them to the promised land. You remember that? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So here God is leading his people out of bondage into the promised land. And what do we know about it? They didn't get in there, did they? Now, did they not get in there because God didn't want them to get in there? No, they didn't get in there because they didn't agree with God. How did they agree with God? Well, God said to send out spies into the wilderness. Go check out the land that I'm giving you and see if it's not a land that's exactly what I said it was. Go see. Go check it out and see if it's not blessed. And so that's exactly what happened. They went out. They sent spies. They sent all the people go out into the land. And they looked at the land and they're like, man, this is beautiful land. It truly is flowing with milk and honey. There's so much provision. There's so much supply. There's all the things we could ever want. But there's opposition. But there's opposition. And you remember Caleb quieted the people and he said, we don't need to hear about the opposition. God is with us. Yeah. But see, the people still cared about the opposition. Yeah. They still, their focus was what? Not on God, on the opposition. Yeah. They agreed with that because what does opposition tell us? And we've all been in opposition, right? Has anyone been opposed? You're trying to go through life. You're trying to have a blessed day and you've been opposed by that. Yeah. Maybe you went to work and your boss was opposing your blessed day. You ever had that? Or another coworker has been opposing your blessed day. What do I mean? How about this? You go out, you're running a little bit late, but you're still in a blessed day, and you get stuck behind somebody who's opposing your blessed day. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. We've all been there, right? There's opposition out there. Praise the Lord. Well, we can decide to get in agreement with the opposition, get frustrated, get mad, and just go down the road that everybody else does. Or we can turn to the Word. We can turn to what God says, and we can get into God's blessing. And agree with what God says. And so that's exactly what the Israelites were doing. Now, of course, the opposition they were facing was a little bit more than a traffic jam. Amen. It was a little bit bigger than that. But we've faced some big things, too, in our lives, haven't we? And I always say this, it's all relative. You know, I mean, Americans are a bunch of babies, but I'm going to tell you we're babies, and it's relative to us. Why? Because anybody who thinks they're poor in this country has no idea what poverty really is. They've never seen it. I've seen poverty, and I haven't even seen the worst of poverty, but I've seen poverty such as does not exist in this country. And it brought me back with a whole new outlook on this country. We are spoiled. I said, we're spoiled. Because there's people that live out there in the world that don't have anything. I mean, nothing. You think that you don't have a lot. You think you have nothing. But you still, I mean, you can, only in this country can you be poor and fat. I'm just telling you, I ain't looking at anybody in particular, praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. It happens in this country. Why? That means we are well fed. And I'm not saying that everybody always has everything that they need or want, stuff like that. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying this, it's all relative. It's all relative. In other words, like you can be impoverished in this country, not know what poverty is anywhere else, and you can feel the effects of that. Amen? And so it's all relative to us. And so we can look at the Israelites and say, well, they went through a lot greater than we did. But at the same time, it is relative. We have opposition just as they have opposition. But what was God looking for? He was looking for faith. He was looking for people to agree with him, to say, yes, I believe you, God. You said that this is our land. See, the only reason that the Israelites did not go to the promised land is because they didn't believe the word of God, which was, this is your land I am giving you. Go in and possess it. Where they didn't agree is then to go in and possess it. Because what they wanted it easy, right? They wanted just, well, you've given us the land, just give it to us. You move out to people. But that doesn't take any faith on our part. God wants faith out of us, amen? He wants our agreement. God desires, he greatly desires our agreement. And if he doesn't get our agreement, well, praise the Lord, God isn't pleased. And if God isn't pleased, then the things that we desire, the promises of God, they don't just come to pass. You know, I've heard this saying before, but I love it. That, you know, the promises of God are not like ripe cherries on a tree. They don't just fall off into our hands. We have to go out and get the land that God has given us. Well, in the revelation of this, when I was seeking God on this message and on the things that he was showing me, actually, like I said, the message was birthed out of the revelation instead of me seeking a message. But what God showed me was that God planted us in this town, amen, in Mayville and in the surrounding areas. And he also planted us in Corey. And so what I was realizing is that these are the lands that God has given us. This is our promised land. And if you're connected to the work, it's your promised land too. And so the things that are here, the resources that are here, they are for us. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean I'm like, we go out and just, you know, go to somebody, your neighbor's house and, you know, take their car and say, this is mine. God told me this is mine. Praise the Lord. Because you might not get a good reaction from the police if you do that. You can't just go live in your neighbor's, you know, they got a nice swimming pool or something like that. So you can't just go swim in their pool unless they let you. You know what I mean? You have to ask permission. But my point is that everything that God is going to do in us is here. Everything that we need is here. We may not see it yet, but it's here. The Israelites couldn't think about how the promised land could possibly be theirs because of the opposition. In the same way, Christians, so many times, they can't even perceive how God would heal them because of the opposition that's in their flesh. They can't even see how God would bless them financially because of the opposition. They can't even see how God would align things for it to work out for them, praise the Lord, or get them into a new job or whatever is needed. They can't see it because of the opposition. But see, that's because they're dwelling on the wrong thing. They're not getting an agreement with God. And we look here at the scripture. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above. Everybody say above. Above all that we ask or think. We need to start asking and thinking bigger. He said he is able to do it exceedingly abundantly above. What is the key between his ability and us receiving what he is able to do? It is getting into agreement with God. It is being bold enough to say, Lord, this is where you place me, so it belongs to me. This is the land that you've given me, so it belongs to me. What does it mean? I'm not talking about being motivated just by, you know, earthly things and stuff like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that all the blessing of God is contained where he has you. For whatever he has for you, it's there. Now, God may send you out. You may follow God, and all of a sudden, he's going to send you somewhere else. You know, for a time or something like that. He might send you out to another land for a minute. But he's only going to send you there to be a blessing and to be blessed, to bring something back. See, because God wants his people blessed. He needs his people full. And when I say he needs his people full, I am not talking about just fat and rich and sitting around, you know, having people feed you grapes and stuff like that. That's not what I'm talking about. But we have to understand what God wants to do in us. If we don't understand it, we won't agree with it. And if we don't agree with it, we'll never see it. And if we don't see it, then the other people won't see it, and then God's plan isn't coming to pass. We need to get into God's plan. Amen? Praise God. Well, I'm glad you're excited about this. Praise the Lord. But look at what he, and again, you say, well, I don't know how we're connected to this. Look at the very end of this verse. According to the power that works in him. According to the power that worked in Jesus. According to the power that works in angels. According to the power that works in just the pastor. The power that works in us. See, the power is trying to work in us. But if we limit the power, if we hinder the power. You know, there's when my son was younger and his cousin were younger, the family got him a couple of little four-wheelers, you know, little gas-powered four-wheelers. And those little four-wheelers had like basically what I always call it was a governor on it. Amen? You know what a governor is? It's to dumb it down so it can only go so fast. Yeah. And then he even had a cord on the back that you could, if they got going too fast, you pull the cord and it would disengage and it would stop it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, one of the things that we had to end up doing is taking that governor off because it slowed him down too much. But it was hindering the power. Those four-wheelers were fully capable of, actually, they could ride my fat butt around the yard. They'd take me around, take you around pretty good, too. I'm just telling you the truth. They'd go, but not with the governor on. It'd be like, bleh. You know, I get on it and just bog it right down. Why? The power was being hindered. Well, the same thing is with us. God's power is working on the inside of us. It's there ready to be tapped into and used, but people aren't tapping into it, and mostly they're not tapping into it because they don't agree that the power exists. And the reason they don't agree that the power exists is because they don't just automatically see it. They're just like the Israelites standing on the hill looking into the promised land saying there's opposition. We can't get there. And so for every time you look at something and say, that's stopping me, then that's what's stopping you. Actually, that's not stopping you. You're stopping you. Every single time we don't get into what God has for us, it is not because of the thing that looks so big. It's because of us who's looking at the thing as big. I said it's because of us who's looking at that opposition as big. God has not, he has given us the ability to conquer. He says, I made you more than conquerors. You are overcomers, he's called us. This is what God's called us. Yet why do we act like people that can't overcome or can't win? Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew 13. Glory to God. This is the answers you need. Praise the Lord. It'll help you. But we have to agree with God. You know what I'm seeing more and more? I'm seeing this in my own life. I'm just looking at things and I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord. I didn't see that before. I didn't realize, I knew divinely God sent us to this town. He sent us here by divine direction. He sent us to Cory by divine direction. And yet both of these towns, I've actually physically lived in this one for a little over three years, praise the Lord. I lived here for 3 years, and I still didn't realize that it's mine. You know what I'm saying? Like if something's happening here that I don't like, it's because I'm allowing it. Because I don't pray. You know, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:7, it tells us to pray for the place where God has brought us. Pray for that place, for in its peace, you will find peace. In other words, and actually we understand that word peace is in its provision. Amen? Because we understand that peace comes in provision. That's why we can have peace in God, because he's a provider. Amen? And so we know that we can always be at peace with him. Amen? And be at peace. Praise the Lord. Because you're not at peace if you're not provided for. Let's just say it the way it is. If you're going hungry, you're not at peace. If you're going without, you're not at peace. If you don't know how you're going to get through the next week, you're not at peace. That's why we need to pray for the place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why I love expansion. I love growth in a town. I love it when things are happening and things are changing, when people buy up properties and stuff like that, and they build bigger properties and nicer properties. Yeah. See, some people rally against that stuff, and they're just people that want to hinder it. Yeah. That's really what they're doing, is they're hindering themselves, because what God will do is God is always about growth. Yeah. better. It goes from glory to glory and growth. Amen? Praise God. Matthew 13. I know none of you believe that. Amen? Praise the Lord. But isn't that the thing? We believe, we want to believe God for growth in our own lives. But then we don't, so, you know, I mean, think about anything in life. I love using this town as a great example. You know, I moved into this town, and one of the first things I learned about this town is that there's a lot of people in this town that love to complain about a really close, nearby town called Chautauqua. Yeah, everybody likes to complain about Chautauqua. Yeah, they do. And why do they? They have so many reasons to complain about Chautauqua. But let me tell you something about Chautauqua, something I learned very early on. Mayville is in the township of Chautauqua. Mayville, because it's in the township of Chautauqua, has the lowest taxes in the county. Now, why does Mayville have the lowest taxes in the county? Because of all that prosperity that's happening down the road, it brings all our property values up, and it brings, because it brings the tax base up, and then it brings all our taxes down. Growth causes increase in your own life. And so people complain about it, and the whole time it's a blessing to them. Yeah, they're trying to cut. Like, think about local business. Whenever somebody comes in, extra flow, they open the store uptown. They open it extra hours because they know they're going to get more people. It brings all the tourism in this town. What does the tourism do? It increases everybody. When you go to sell your house in Mayville, guess what? It sells. Listen, you go to Jamestown. We grew up in Jamestown. We know you go to Jamestown, you don't have the same benefits. We had the same taxes almost in Jamestown that we do in Mayville, and our house wasn't even close to the same value. Yeah, I'm just telling you the truth. And then all the other stuff that comes along with it. We want prosperity to happen. It's good when, because everybody benefits from it. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what else prosperity does? It brings some stinking good restaurants in that stay open all year round. Yeah, because I want good restaurants. If I got to eat out, I want to eat someplace good and not just have the same food. Just give us a good pizza joint in this town. You know what I'm saying? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I don't need too much pizza, but a slice now and again would be good. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, you know what I'm saying. We got to get to the scripture. Matthew 13, starting at verse 12. Yeah, I got to find Matthew 13, verse 12, too. There we are. Hallelujah. We're going to read through verse 17. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Now, this scripture always used to trip me up. I'm like, well, that doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem right. We're going to read more, but it doesn't seem right. Doesn't sound right, God. God, you screwed something up in this thinking. This ain't right, God. That's what I used to think. I'm just telling you the truth. A lot of people will, because they don't discern it spiritually. See, we have to discern the word spiritually to understand that it's not, that it's, it seems foolish, but it's not. Praise the Lord. What is this talking about? Well, in context, we understand this. This is talking about somebody who follows God, people who follow God. Amen? And so to them who get it, those who understand how God operates, more they'll be blessed. And so this person who has is somebody who's following God and is blessed because they're following God. And the Bible says that more will be given. Because that's what God does. He increases and increases and increases. And so when we understand what God is doing, and then we put the principles to work, and we start doing the things like agreeing with God, more will be given to you. Because that's the way God works. Amen? So we see that God wants to continue that increase in our lives. That's his desire. And he will have an abundance. But who is the one who does not have? It's the one who doesn't get the word. It's the one. There's lots of Christians that don't get the word and therefore don't have the blessing of God. There's lots of denominations. I'm not against denominations. I love denominations. I'm not against them, but I'm just going to tell you that there's a lot of them that will focus more on their tradition and their denomination than they will the word of God. Well, I know this is what the word says, but this is what we believe. So even what you have will be taken from you. That's why there's lots of people, lots of churches that don't even know how to be blessed, don't even walk in blessing. When I'm talking about walking in blessing, I'm not talking about walking around rich. I'm talking about anything that could be considered blessing. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about longevity. I'm talking about the overcoming of obstacles. I'm talking about the opposition that can't stand against you. You know, the Lord told Joshua that this, go into the land that I'm telling you to possess, and there ain't nothing that's going to stand against you. I said, there's nothing going to stand against you. Meaning that there's not, listen, Something will try to stand against you, but something that stands against you and something that tries to stand against you are two completely different things. Praise the Lord. Why don't Christians get over addictions? Because they don't agree with the Word. They don't get in there and agree with the Word. They come out, well, I still have my own thoughts or my own ideas. It's the only reason. Praise the Lord. You get in agreement with the Word, you can overcome anything. Why? Because there is nothing that can stand. God said He's given us power over sin. He's given us power over sin. Addiction is just sin. He's given us the power over it, but we have to choose to walk in it. And the only way we can walk in it is if we agree with Him first that we can. Because you aren't going to do something you don't think you can do. How many times have you looked, I go out to my garage, I look at my garage and think, I can't do this. Turn around, go back in the house. What am I talking about? Cleaning the garage. I can't figure this out. I don't even know where to begin with it. You ever get to a place like that? Amen? That's why I need my wife, praise God. Because she just comes in and she organizes everything real quick. Like, you know what I mean? She'll go through like a tornado and just everything's clean. Amen? One time the tornado will clean up everything. Hallelujah. Usually they don't, but my wife can do that. She's just got that ability. But you know what I'm saying? When we look at something that we don't believe we can overcome, we turn away from it and just go away in defeat. Yeah. That's exactly what the Israelites did. Yeah. That's exactly what God's people have always done at different times, at various times throughout humanity. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Different times throughout humanity, people have turned from the direction of God because of their situation says this, or life looks like this, or whatever, and they lose out on the blessing. And not because God didn't want them to have it, but because they chose to forego it. So anyways, that's all that out of verse 12. Praise God. Let's go on to verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. And it tells why right here. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. Not God has closed. Praise God. This is what's happening. This happens to so many people, so many God's people. Listen, I've seen this. I'm going to speak a little bit to our older generation here. I love you. But I've seen this. And I'm not doing this to correct you. I'm just doing this to help you. Praise the Lord. Because it's not my job to correct the older people. You know that? Praise God. Hallelujah. You get that's absolute truth. It's not the job of a younger person to correct an older person. But it is my job as a pastor to teach the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That'll help a lot of kids in here. Your parents know more than you do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But the older generation, a lot of times, you have people that sit in church for, decade after decade after decade, and they think that they know. And once you think you know, you can't learn anything. Because you shut yourself off from being able to hear. Well, I was raised in the church. My parents served in the church. I served in the church, whatever. And we came up through the ranks, and we were taught everything. We had post church Sunday school at our house every Sunday evening growing up, and so they think they know. They can quote scripture. Many Christians can quote scripture, but it doesn't do them any good. Why? Because they can't be taught anything. I can't learn something. See, we have to go with the idea that every single time that God is meeting, that there's something that we're going to get, not can get. There's something we're going to get. We got to come to church. I'm going to get changed today. See, this is the thing. I can always be changed by the Word of God. I keep myself open to the Word of God constantly. You know what I've learned after being a pastor for 5 years? There's things when I was a pastor for 1 year I didn't know. You know what I learned? Another thing, after 2 years of being a pastor, there was a lot of things I didn't know. I learned something else after 5 years. After 3 years of being a pastor, there was a lot of things I still didn't know. I learned something in the fourth year that a lot of things I thought I knew in the first, second, and third year, I definitely did not know. And so I know by the fifth year that I know nothing. Hallelujah. I just follow the Holy Ghost and He'll help me. Amen. And through that, He'll help you too. Praise the Lord. And see, but that's good understanding for us, is that we have to understand that we don't know anything. The Holy Spirit does. And as He reveals things to us and we listen to Him, things in our lives will change. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you'll know them by your fruits. Praise the Lord. We should be known by our fruits. What's your fruit after 50 years, after 70 years, after 100 years of serving God? What's your fruit? I'll tell you what. We have example after example of people that had fruit. Praise the Lord. After 100 years. Just because you're in your 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you're in that place, don't think that God's done with you yet. Oh, he's got things for you. He's got fruit for you. Your life isn't over until it's over. Praise the Lord. And Paul said it wasn't over until I'm satisfied. I'm just telling you, that's hallelujah. That's the word. Glory to God. hearing you will not hear, you will hear. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are you, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So praise the Lord. We understand we are of the most blessed generation that's ever existed on earth. We have everything. God has brought it all together for this time and place, and yet we haven't seen anything like some of the stories that we've written here. Well, I should say some of the accounts. I don't like saying stories because it sounds like made up and fake, but we know that that's not true. Praise the Lord. And so we haven't seen that. Why haven't we seen it? Because ears have grown deaf and eyes have grown blind to hearing from God's word. So the hearts are dull. Why are we? Look, we have to keep ourselves stirred up. If you haven't learned in life yet, but no one else is going to stir you. In fact, your opposition ain't going to stir you. It's going to do everything it can. You remember a kid in a pool, around a swimming pool? I don't know if you've ever been in one. And everybody starts walking around the pool, making a whirlpool, right? Walking around the pool. And what happens if one person stands there? It hinders the pool, it hinders the flow, doesn't it? Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. No, ain't other people going to stir you up. You start walking against it, you're going to hinder the flow in your life. Amen. So if you allow opposition in and all that stuff, well, praise God. Hallelujah. So we want to hear, we want to see, because God has got wonderful, great things for us. He wants us walking in the flow. Because how many know that in the flow, what's another thing we know about that whirlpool? We'll go back to the whirlpool for a second because we all understand it. But what do we know about that? If you just get it going real good, right? And then what happens? I used to like to curl up in a ball afterwards. Plug your nose, curl up in a ball, and what do you do? You just float around the pool. In the same direction. Now you're not even working, are you? You all know what I'm talking about, right? You done that? Praise the Lord. I tried to do that in the lake with my boat. We got a little one going. My wife told me to stop because it was making her sick. We're just going around in a circle, you know. Well, I was trying. There was the Jesus balloon. You ever seen the Jesus balloon that floats around out there? Yeah, we saw the Jesus balloon, so I was trying to say hi. Figure, how do you say hi to something that way up there they can't see me? So I just start doing circles, and maybe they get my idea, you know what I mean? She didn't understand what I was doing, but she told me to stop. But as I was doing that, I'm looking at the Jesus balloon, I'm turning in circles, and all of a sudden I looked down and went, wait, I'm doing like a whirlpool here. I saw the flow of the current on top. It was very, very little, amen. But when there's a current, when there's a flow, it's easy to float, isn't it? It's easy to go in the flow, right? Praise the Lord. My son and his cousin and I were hiking in the gorge last week, and we were hiking in the gorge, and there was, it rained the night before, and so there was a good flow of water. It wasn't too bad, but it was a pretty good flow of water, but there were spots that was hard to cross. And why? Because the water was coming against us. So when we were going up the river or up the stream, the current was fighting against us. But I kept thinking, man, if I had a tube or a kayak or something, we could go down this pretty good right now, and it would be fun. Well, that's what it is. The same thing with God. God has a certain flow. If it's hard, if things are hard on us, it's because we're fighting that flow. Yeah. Because Jesus promised us, right, in Matthew 11:30, he promised us that if we would, that if we took his yoke upon us, right, we're bound to him, that it would be what? His yoke is easy and his burden is light, and you will find rest. Praise the Lord. I have to go back and tell you our Hudson River floating down the river story, right? Yeah. I told that one in this church, right? Yeah. Right? Well, a couple of people, well, I'll tell it again, praise the Lord. So we're in the Hudson River, and we're on the Lazy River, right? You know the Lazy Rivers they have in amusement parks? Well, they do one in the Hudson River, upper Hudson River, not the lower Hudson, the upper Hudson. And so we get in the tube, and we're floating down, and, you know, it's easy when you're floating down. But I had all these things tied to me, right? I had Ezra tied to me in one tube. I had a cooler in another tube tied to me, not for beer, it was for pop and water and stuff like that. I had that tied to me. I think I had something else tied to me. Maybe four or five other people that saw me with all this other stuff and snuck on there too. And I'm trying to float down the river, and all I'm doing is working to get down the river. It wasn't easy. And by the last, I literally walked the last mile because I was like, I'm dragging all these tubes like this. I got to get out of this thing, man. Total true story. You can't make this stuff up. It's the truth. Praise the Lord. But see, that's the thing. When we hold on to baggage, when we hold on to anchors, when we have all these things that weigh us down, right? All these things in life we're holding on to, and this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, I got to hold on to this, and we don't let God just take us. Listen, it's going to make us work hard. But Jesus said, just get attached to me. If you just listen to me, I'll make it easy. It doesn't mean there won't be opposition. Of course, he said there will be opposition. But the opposition can't take you out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings verse chapter 4, verse 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, I thought it was closer, but I got to hurry. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha. Elisha was the man of God, the prophet of that time, right? Cried out to Elisha saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. Sounds like she's kind of in a dire straits, right? She got some opposition, doesn't she? So what did she do? She went to the man of God for the answer. Yeah, she knew where to go, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? What can we work with here? Amen? See, everybody's thinking that they got to work with something they ain't got. And God's given you enough to work with right where you're at. Elisha didn't say go out and find something. You'll go out and try to figure out a way to make a lot of money or go out and try to, you know, that's what they owed these people money. Amen. And they were going to take their sons as slaves, right? But he said, what do you got in your house? Work with what you got. Start right there. Oh, man, I'm telling you, that'll preach, folks. That'll help you right there. Hallelujah. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in your house. And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. That doesn't sound like much, does it? What does a jar of oil do? Well, it'll grease you up, but that's about it. One person, right? Ain't going to grease up a whole family. Praise the Lord. It certainly ain't going to do it. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere. Vessels. Yeah. He didn't say go borrow oil. He said go borrow vessels from all your neighbors. Oh, this is going to preach right here. Oh, this is getting good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, if you aren't friendly to your neighbors, when time comes that you need to borrow a vessel, they ain't going to lend it to you. So you better be friendly to those around you. You better be a nice person, because if you're not, when it comes time to borrow something, when it comes time, you know, when you need something, it ain't going to happen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's good. No, that's free, no charge. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you. Praise the Lord. So go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. And I love this. It says empty vessels. Ha! Ha! Empty vessels. Praise the Lord. And do not gather just a few. Hallelujah. This woman is poor, man. She doesn't have nothing. She said, they're about to take my kids for slaves. They're going to come take everything I got. All I got is a jar of oil. He said, go out, get some vessels. Go borrow some vessels from other people. Praise the Lord. Make sure they're empty. And don't just grab a few of them, because glory to God. Well, God wants to work on you now. Hallelujah. He's going to do something in your life. Now, see, there's something that happens when people have faith. Yes. There's something that happens when you know, she could say, well, I'm just a poor widow. I'm just a poor widow, Elisha. What am I going to do? What can I do? No, what she did was just what she was told to do. Why? Because she got an agreement with what God wanted her to do. And when she got an agreement, you're going to wait and see what's going to happen, but it's going to be good. I just know it is. How do I know it's going to be good? Because he's setting it up for good. He's setting up the plot up there, saying, hey, go grab some empty vessels. They emphasize empty vessels. They even highlight it. I highlighted my Bible, but they put it in my Bible. It just says empty vessels. He could have just said vessels, but he said empty vessels, and do not gather just a few. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm preaching a lot better than your amen. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it, that little one you have, into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Okay? She don't know what's going to happen. She's just being obedient what she was told to do. Yeah. Nowhere in here did he say it's going to multiply. I don't know if you've noticed a theme in this book yet. But one of the things that I notice is that God likes to fill empty vessels. Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. Every time you see an empty vessel, God likes to fill it. Yes. What does that tell you? Oh, that's obviously a God that wants you broken, defeated. That's obviously a God that don't want you to make it. No, that's a God who fills empty vessels. So I'll just ask you today, how do you feel? How do you feel about yourself? You feel like an empty vessel? You ever have days where you just feel empty? Guess what? You got a God that wants to fill you. Why? Because you're an empty vessel. He can't stand empty vessels. Our God is a God of prosperity. I don't care if you like it or not. Praise the Lord. Set aside the full. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. Notice that she's doing it. I love how it does. It's just simple verse. But if you look at it, she's doing exactly what she was told to do. He said, go into their house. Shut the door behind you and your sons. And then it tells us, so she went from him and shut the door behind her and her son. She didn't sit there arguing, but pastor, you don't get it. But pastor, you don't understand what I'm facing. But pastor, you don't know what we're going through. But pastor this, but pastor, she didn't say any of that, did she? She went and did what she was told to do. Praise the Lord. Listen, when we have church, we're getting told what to do. I'm not telling you what to do. God's telling us what to do. He's giving us direction. I love the fact that God doesn't have me prepare everything ahead of time, because then it would make it look like I came up with it. But when it comes on the spots, we're both surprised, and I get excited. When you see me get excited, that means something's happening. Praise the Lord. So that's your cue. Get excited. Because God's teaching something too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Who brought that? So the doors behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass. Everybody say it came to pass. When the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Now there's a lot of interesting things in these bits of scripture here. One of the things that I see is very, very clear to me anyways is that the amount that she was willing to give herself to that, in other words, the amount of vessels she was willing to prepare, was the amount. You don't notice the oil didn't cease until after the last vessel was filled. What happened if she had got one more vessel? She would have got one more full one. What if she had gotten 10 more vessels? She would have gotten 10. I'm not saying she could have, but I'm just saying, let that be a lesson to us. When there's direction of God, I'll just tip my foot in the water and see if it's okay. No, you better jump in. When God's moving, you need to jump in. Praise the Lord. When the direction is there, we need to jump in. Why? Because those who jump in are the ones that see the promised land. Those are the ones that jump in are the ones that see all the full vessels. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. It's just the truth. You know, the Spirit will deal with us on things all the time. He does. Amen. So she poured it out. They were full. So the oil ceased. Praise the Lord. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your son shall live on the rest. So look at what God did. He didn't just supply enough for the debt. He paid off the debt, and he said, now you get to live on it too. Yes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, I don't know how much oil was worth. None of that matters. All that matters is what God was doing, what people were willing to do. You see, somebody got in agreement with God, and God filled their vessel. Why is your vessel not filled? The first thing you got to see, check on, is am I in agreement with God? If you're complaining, you are not in agreement with God. If you're upset, you are not in agreement with God. If you are stressed out, you are not in agreement with God. You haven't heard the word yet. Listen, God given us all these examples of him doing stuff in this Bible, but until it becomes real to us, In other words, that's what I mean. That's what the promised land was to me. When I realized, it was just yesterday, when I realized, I just had in my heart to go up on the hill. And I went up onto the spot on the hill. It was so amazing. I can't get into all how this came about. But I go up into that spot on the hill. And as I'm standing up there, I realize that's exactly what God did with the Israelites. He took them up on the hill, put them in a spot. He said, look down, everything that you see, praise the Lord. Everything that you see. So where God has you connected is where God has you supplied. Your life flows out of that place. Praise God. Glory to God. I want to bring up Amos 3:3. We're talking about agreement with God. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Isn't that? I mean, it's a simple question. But it has a simple answer, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. When my wife and I like to go out for walks. You know, my wife, I tell you, she's like a little tornado. I mean, she's got energy. She's got spunk. You know what I mean? A lot more than I do. We go out for a walk. I always got to tell her. I'm like, are you speed racing today? Are you in a hurry to get somewhere, honey? Because I can't walk that fast. You know what I mean? I'm carrying on a bit more weight than she is. I can't get as fast as she can. So I always got to tell her to slow down. When I don't know if you all remember back a couple months ago when I jacked up my back lifting a rock I had no business lifting. But I could barely walk, and we went down for a walk, and we did the same thing. I'm like, taking baby steps like this, praise the Lord. And she's over doing laps around me. Glory to God. We didn't get very far that day either, but praise the Lord. But what does she do? If she could keep walking that fast, we're not going to walk together anymore because she'd get out ahead of me, and I can't keep up. Praise the Lord. So I either got to tie myself to her. Amen. Or she got to slow down. Yeah, then you'd be like on the Hudson River. That's why I said, see, that's what I need. I just got the divine revelation right here in church. I'm getting me two things. After church today, I'm going to Walmart. I'm going to get me two things and get me a pair of roller skates and a rope. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to go for some walks. Hallelujah. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? The answer is no. So let me something. Can you walk with God unless you're agreeing with him? The answer is in the question. We see it right here. This was not written for us to think about, roller skating behind my wife. This is we're talking about God here. The Bible is about our connection with God. We can't walk with him and go where he's going if we don't agree. Because guess what God is not going to do? He isn't going to force us, and he isn't going to stop all humanity because you don't want to go. What's he going to do? He's going to go on without you. But if you go with God, praise the Lord. You know that saying? We have that saying, go with God. Yeah. Sounds like a real great thing to say, go with God. No, literally, folks, go with God. Yeah. When he's going, agree with him. Go where he's going. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, a few minutes. Yeah. Genesis 5. Genesis 5, verse 22. We're going to see an account here we don't get to preach about often. Genesis 5, 22 through 24. We're talking about agreeing with God, right? Praise God, hallelujah. After he begot Methuselah, in other words, after he fathered Methuselah, praise the Lord, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is interesting, isn't it? So we see these scriptures here. So we see the guy, what do we see about Enoch? He was a faithful guy. He walked with God. We see that a couple times, right? He's walking with God. Now, this is one of those things that sometimes people can take out of context. Say, well, God took him. Well, see, God does cause people to die, right? Isn't that what the Bible says here? Clearly says that. Well, praise the Lord. You find your answer if you go to Hebrews 11, starting verse 5. And we know that this is a great faith chapter. Praise the Lord. And, of course, it uses it here. But let's see what the Apostle Paul said to the Hebrews about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Praise God. He did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. This is really interesting to me because I want to stop and just focus on death for a minute as we think about death. So often people think that death is a cause of God. If somebody dies, well, God needed them, God took them. No, God received them, but God didn't cause death. And we see this clearly in the Word because if God's way was death, then Enoch would have seen death. But Enoch didn't see death because that was not God's way. It was time for Enoch to go. God wanted, was calling him back, but God didn't take him through the method of death. And in fact, we again, as we look through Scripture, you never see God killing anybody. Actually, if you really want to think about it this way, God doesn't, he passes judgment, but he actually doesn't do the carrying out of any of that anyways. And there's a lot of, you know, misunderstandings of Scripture we can get into there, but, you know, we preach about it often. I can't cover it all in one sermon, but the point is that God's preferred method was just to take him. And we see he did this with Elijah too, didn't he? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Go to verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that what? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. But we see, can two walk together unless they be agreed? We see that Enoch walked with God. And now we see that Enoch pleased God. Walking with God is pleasing to him. You know, and I know what a lot of people think, well, I go to church, I walk with God. That's just not the case. Walking with God, it's just like abiding in God. It's not a weekly thing. Walking with God, Enoch was not a God-fearing person one day a week when the temple came around. No, he lived his life after God. He was someone who lived a life that was pleasing to God. He lived in pursuit of God, who diligently seek him. Notice this scripture is attached to the one about Enoch. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, do we not see that? We understand through the scripture that that's exactly what's going on here. Amen. And so what God is trying to do in us, we see this from the Old Testament to the New Testament. God is trying to always get his people to just walk with him. Go in the direction that I want to take you. But the people refuse, and then they lack, and then they wonder why they lack. Yeah. Praise God. Now, some of us, just some of us, have come into this later in our life, anywhere from middle age on. And I know what some of you are thinking, probably some of the same things I thought. Was it too late for me then? Because I didn't walk with God all my life. See, this is the wonderful thing about God, is it picks up wherever you're at. Yeah. Now, maybe the fullness of what God had for you can't be realized. Honestly, because I mean, the first 28 years of my life, I didn't live them for God. So those 28 years, whatever God would have had me do in those years, I can't go back and redo those things. But we do know this, that God redeems the time. Yeah. And so one thing that he does promise is that he'll help us make that up. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we might not be able to gain all that stuff, but there's no point in staying in the past. All that matters is where do we go from now? Do we choose to walk with God daily now? And walk in his blessing, or we do choose to forego it. Amen? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is trusting God. Yeah. It took trust for that widow to sit there and say, Elisha, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to do what you're saying, because I'm going to trust God. Because ultimately, it's the same thing. Like if I preach the word to you, and you believe that I've been sent here by God, praise the Lord, then the word that's been preached to you will benefit you. But if you don't believe that the one standing there is sent by God and that they're speaking for the Lord, well, praise the Lord, it isn't going to help you at all. It just won't. Praise the Lord. So we got to connect to those so you understand. Praise God. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, a lot of people have a problem with this idea that God's blessing falls on those who activate the blessing. But this scripture is very clear on it. He is a rewarder of those, only those. He didn't say he's a rewarder of everyone. Now, God does have, there's blessings. God blesses all people as much as he can. But his hand and blessing is hindered by what we connect to or what we don't connect to. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to bring up Genesis 6:9 to you too. I just want to show you another example of this in Scripture. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And what do we know about Noah? Yeah, Noah and his whole family was saved because he was just, because he was perfect in his generations. Parents, this tells us something, doesn't it? Yeah, how we walk matters for our kids, doesn't it? How we continue in this life matters. Maybe you have kids that don't serve God. That may be so. There are people that have kids that don't serve God. But this is how you get there. Yes. This is how you help them, is by continuing to walk with God. When you walk with God, God will bring you through to that place. But when you refuse to go where God is going, He can't take you into the promised land. He won't take you into the promised land. In fact, with the Israelites, He got mad and said, "You will not ever go into the promised land," because they refused Him after He did this and He did this and He did this and He did this. Amen? So praise God. We're getting some understanding here, and I believe you're getting some help here too. Amen? We're going to close here. Matthew 18:18. Matthew 18:18. As you're turning here, I want to tell you this. If you are people who are dealing with things right now that don't seem to be coming to pass, what you need is something called the prayer of agreement. Now, this message originally was going to be preached from that basis, but this week the Lord changed that. It settled in me last Sunday when I was here, but I knew I'd be preaching about agreement. The prayer of agreement is one important prayer that we need to pray. And what's the prayer of agreement? It's where we're going to see it right here. In Matthew 18:18, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? Amen. The prayer of agreement is where two people that are faithful, that believe, that trust God, will come together and agree in prayer on touching on something. So if you're somebody who's going through something, sometimes what we need is a prayer of agreement. Sometimes, you know, we don't need to get freaked out about it and worry about it. We just need to get into agreement with somebody on it. Amen. And that's why I always ask people, you may have even heard me, if you come to me for prayer, you say, "Pastor, pray for," a lot of times I'm going to pray right then. Listen, just so you all know this, I am not going to continually pray for your situation every single day unless the Lord leads me. Why? Because it ain't my job. Don't ask me to do it, because I'm never going to promise it. I won't do it. I will pray with you there on something. Praise the Lord. I will hook up into agreement. But faith does not keep going at something every single day because you don't believe it's come to pass yet. That's not what faith is. You don't need my lack of faith. So don't come to me expecting me. That doesn't mean don't come to me and ask me to pray with you or something like that. Or if you need clarity, please come to me. It's my joy to sit there and pray with people. But you'll notice if you come to me about prayer, what do I always say? So let's pray right now. We don't wait. We'll just pray right now. We'll take care of it right now. Glory to God. Okay, let's look at this, 18:18, Matthew 18:18. Assuredly, Jesus said, assuredly. I love that He says assuredly. That means that absolute, as a matter of fact, this can't be changed. This is the truth. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now let me tell you what a principle of binding and loosing. We bind and loose with our mouths, but we also bind and loose with our actions. The Bible's clear on that as well. If you live a life that leads to death, then when death comes, you can't expect to be saved from that all the time. I'm talking about physical death or physical death in a situation. For example, if you live a life and you never, you're not faithful to God, then when you're going to seek Him, asking Him to be faithful to you, He's going to be like, "What about all this? I can't stop this. You caused all this." You know, it's kind of like this. I mean, I'm not against smokers. I used to be one. But listen, if you smoke all your life and you continue to smoke and continue to smoke and continue to smoke and you never give it up, you know, if all of a sudden you find out one day you have cancer, first of all, it ain't God that gave you cancer. But the second thing you have to understand is, you know, the healing might not just come instantly. Because that's not the way God works. We know not to put bad things in our body. Listen, that doesn't mean that God won't be merciful. He is merciful. I'm not saying he won't. But there's a lot of people that wonder why God won't answer prayers, and it's because they're living a life that's opposite in that area. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. If you don't teach your kids about the importance of church, do not think that they're going to be Christians when they grow up, because they won't. If kids don't know that church is not optional, they will. A church will. Listen, oh my God. We've had people leave us over this. But I'm going to tell you the truth. People who do not teach their kids that church is not optional grow up to be kids that don't go to church. Why? Because it was always optional. And if it was optional, why do I want to waste my Sunday mornings? Yeah. Parents don't think, like, everything you do, your kids are watching you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everything. They see your faith. They see where you're shaking. My kids know my weaknesses. Why? They live with me. They can tell you lots of stuff. Don't go ask them. Because you also don't want to see my kids beaten. Just kidding. That's a joke. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you understand, we all have weaknesses, right? And those who live closest to us will know those weaknesses. Amen. But if those weaknesses are things that, you know, especially my older son here, I tell him all the time, I'm like, you know, listen, none of us know how to do this right. You know what I mean? There's a lot of this is trial and error for all of us. I'm just doing the best that I can. But because I'm following God now in my life, for the first 8 years of his life, I didn't follow God. And I certainly have never raised a kid to this age before. And so, and he's a man now, but I had never raised a kid through to manhood. And so I didn't know how to do it. But I'm not going to be in bondage, but you can't hold me in bondage either. Listen, if I wasn't the perfect daddy, I sure tried. You know what I mean? But that aside, I've also put things in him that he can see are right. One of those things is the importance of the house of God. One of those things is the importance of giving to God. All these things he does. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whatever we put in him. So we say that about binding and loosing. Sometimes what you bind by your actions. Sometimes what you loose by your actions. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, it's just the truth. People who live promiscuously, they have the things that come with promiscuous living. Yeah, absolutely. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm not even going down that road today. Hallelujah. Because we're close. I got to close. But again, verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, we understand this as attached to binding and loosing. If you've bound it so it can't happen, you can't just expect the reversal. You have to do those things to unbind it. For example, you can't not tithe and not give and then expect that your finances are going to be taken care of by God. It cannot happen. That won't happen. You've bound it because you've controlled it by what you've done. Why? The Bible tells us so. So if you do those things that hinder you there, God can't come through and fix it. We can agree all day long. Praise the Lord. Listen, I talked to my parents, back to the smoking thing, just because that's an easy one for us that all we can understand. Again, when somebody does it, doesn't mean they're going to hell. But listen, you are in danger. You can't just claim God's healing over and over and over again, think you're freed from it. And so my pastor was talking about a person once with me who had, in his congregation, who that had happened to. They were a smoker. They got lung cancer. And then he prayed for them, and they got healed, but they went right back to smoking. Listen, you're spitting in the face of God. See, you can't live, and it doesn't matter if it's smoking or if it's the way you spend money or if it's whatever else. You know what I mean? If you're going out, if you're spending money on stupid things and doing all these horrible things with it, and then all of a sudden your finances are attacked. Listen, if you're a bad steward with money, God ain't blessing you with more. That's just the way it is. You bound it and you loose it. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. You can't fix it by just coming to the church a few weeks and try to get it right. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I could give you example after example after example after this, but, you know, I'm just not going to do it today because we don't have time. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. How can two walk together unless they are agreed? You can't. How do you get into the blessing of God? You have to agree with him. We have to agree with God and go where he's going. And when you do that, you will be blessed. It's just a matter of fact. It's like ripe cherries off a tree. It falls in your lap.